welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Good morning. My guest today is Philippe Luc, Director of Verification at Codasip. Philippe has spent over 20 years in verification, which includes an extensive and successful career at ARM. Good morning, Philippe.
Thank you.
First, before we talk about bugs, let's first talk about how you came to semiconductors and what brought you to Codasip.
I think my passion started first with electricity as a kid, and I guess my best game when I was a real small kid was an electric train, and I played a lot with it, and especially I did some lights. Playing with electricity was really a lot of fun. And growing, I think as a teenager, I would like to have cheap communication. It was a time where communicating and phoning to friends in other parts of France was expensive. And I tried to break the phone French system with some electronic cards, like really the ancestors of smart card. In the end, I never succeed in having a free call, but I learned a lot on microcontrollers, on software, embedded softwares, electronics, transistors, a lot of things that are really exceptionally rich for me as a learning at this moment. And it really started here when I start to understand that there is a wonderful world trying to connect computer with physical interface, lights, sensors, and it really all started by normal electronics and soldering irons and PCB. And I follow a path in my study where this electronic part was the major learning. And naturally, it goes to semiconductors and microelectronics because a lot of really, really interesting things to do here. And this is really a place of interest where you can mix software, like embedded software, but also, real software to communicate with devices and real electronics. So it really fits my passion from the hardware to the software. So I continue my studies here, find a job in one of the most famous company for microprocessors, embedded microprocessor, namely ARM. And I spent almost 20 years here, having a lot of fun since the beginning on very simple tasks and growing through my career to a verification lead on some major projects. And still keeping my passion for hardware and software together.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I had a similar experience when I was a kid with electricity. I stuck a fork in one of the wall sockets, and that got me interested and started thinking about how that all works.
Yes.
So let's talk about bugs. Why do you think it's important to carefully track bugs?
So it is important. I'll explain why. And when designing microprocessor, it's among the different area of microelectronics and IP design, microprocessors are really a place where you have to be extremely careful because the state space of microprocessor is extremely big. And our customers in Codasip expect high quality processors, and they want to take the processor as a working IP. They don't want to do the verification of the processor itself, so we have to sell something that just works in all the cases that the customer will face. And there is often a big question about projects and timelines is when the project is finished. For the IP design, I would say the answer is a bit simpler. So when you reach the timing, when you reach the functionality, when you reach the features, okay, you can say the IP part, the design part is done. For the verification part, we can say it's done when the tests are written, when the test bench are working, the test bench are passing. But still, I'm not satisfied with that answer. Because if you run more tests, especially more random tests, you'll discover more bugs. And I want to find these bugs before the customer finds them. And so one of the major questions that my manager asked during my career is, when is the verification finished? We can think about coverage and say, okay, when the verification is finished, when the coverage is reaching 100%. But I never agree with that comment. I never been satisfied to say, okay, we have just covered it, but that does not mean tested. So when I started in CodeASIP, I shared to the team, okay, now the rule is when coverage is 100%, the verification starts. This is a fun part of the verification that starts when the coverage is reached. And I've tried to find some other metrics to be able to judge where we are. And I found a lot of extremely interesting information into the bugs we find during the path of the development. And I came to track these bugs, and I have developed some templates for reporting the bug, where one of the most important things is how often and how easily this bug has been found during the development. So tracking the bug really gives information that I don't find anywhere else. Coverage doesn't give it, being functional or code coverage doesn't give you the information that is really contained in the bug report.
Okay, that's interesting. So what are the bug types? What are you specifically tracking?
Yes. So by looking at the bug more and more, I managed to classify the bugs into four main types. Let's discuss about it. And the idea here is by checking which kind of bugs you are finding currently in the project give you hints on where you are in the verification quality. So the first bug type, the simplest, I just call it the easy bug. It's a bug where you just test a new feature and you find a bug with it. Let's say you are trying to test if the underline load are working. You make a simple test checking the underline loads, and you just find a bug does not work correctly. This is simply the easy bug where you just throw a directed test at a new feature and it fails. This is completely expected. The first time you test something, it fails. That's normal. If you still find this kind of bug at the end of the project, probably it means that it is not the end of the project. So the second category of bug you find on the next step is a corner case. Which means, okay, the underlying load is working fine, and you want to inject more random here, more subtle variations of the test bench. And you start to find corner cases. Let's say on the underlying load, it can fail if there is an interrupt at the same cycle as this load. It starts to be a corner cases, but still quite simple. If you add some other random events, let's say you have an eviction at the same time. Let's say you have some different timings of the interface. You have some random memory exceptions at the same time you have the load and the line. It starts to be in the corner cases. And you can measure the number of events that needs to happen together in order to have this bug occur. And this will give you a measure of the power of your test bench. If you find, for example, bugs that have 6 or 7 events that need to happen together, you are starting to have a quite powerful test bench. So this is, I would say, the type of bugs that you will find during the biggest part of the project. Still, the bugs that are expected. The next kind of bug, the third one, I named it the hidden case. It's not only the corner case. You know, the corner case as in the corner. But if you go even further into the corner, you find places that are completely hidden. These are the bugs that are at the edge of your test bench capabilities. The test bench can throw some asynchronous events, random events. But this hidden bug is only found when you are extremely lucky. So you might find this case after perhaps 1 month running your test bench and only find one failure with this hidden case. This is a case where your random test bench is not completely expected to find it. You don't tune the random enough, but it's really a combination of a lot of luck. When you find this bug, there is a lot to learn here, especially if it has been found by luck. You have to turn the luck into something predictable. And so, yes, you found a bug in the design, but it also means you have a lot of work in the verification environment to keep finding bugs and put this bug from the hidden to the corner case place by improving your test bench. And here is the last step of your project, where you are really finding the bugs before the customer. This is really where the quality is. If you do the job of improving your test bench to put this bug into the normal case. The fourth and last bug type is a silly case. Not even hidden, it's silly. If you put so much feature in your test bench, if you are very close to the edge of the feature of the design, to the edge of the specification, you are going to find bugs that the designer will tell, okay, but we don't support this case, it's too silly. If you have an interrupt at the same time as the debugger, request with an asynchronous abort, and if you change a page table at exactly the same moment and press the reset button at the exact same moment, no, it's a case that will never happen in the life of the product. So this is becoming silly because you find cases which we could not really classify as bug because this is really outside the scope of the design. So when you reach this fourth level, when your test bench is strong enough to push the design to the limit, to really the edge of what is legal and illegal, you can say that, okay, you have reached a very good verification and a very good quality. And this is really my target.
Okay, so how did you come up with, or how did you decide on these different bug types, the different classifications?
It's really my own personal observation and experience here, where looking to make some statistics, looking to predict the end of the project, I really classified this bug into these four types, and they nicely fit. If you have these four types in hand, and the list of bugs you find in your project, you can easily fit in all these categories.
So how do you use it at Codasip to raise the quality of your verification?
So we use this classification each time we find a bug that is in the second place or in the third type, the corner case or the hidden case, to improve the quality of the verification. So the designer has some work to make sure he provides a fix for the given bug. And during this time, I always encourage the team, the verification team, to go further and not only be satisfied by having found a bug, but making sure that on the next project, we find this bug very easily. We make sure that we have all the power to find the bug in the different environment we have. I'm talking about component test bench, top test bench, formal test bench. If a bug has been found on a unit by a given methodology, let's go and continue the work on the other methodology to improve the other methodologies and improve their strength. So we use it in practice by analyzing each bug report, making sure that, okay, is it an easy bug? We just don't care because we can find it very easily. Or are we entering in the corner case and we just have to reproduce it in the other methodology, if that's applicable? Or if we are across the edge of the hidden case where, okay, we need much more than that and improve the test bench to make this hidden case part of the test bench features. So all the bugs we find go through this process. It's a process to start to put in place, but when the team are used with it, it's really simple to follow.
But do you have specific examples that you could share with us that might illustrate this?
Yeah, sure. So for example, in my career in ARM, I designed the first AMP processor, multiprocessor, where you have coherent caches. So the coherency of the caches is a big deal to verify and to make it correct. And one of the discovery at that time was, okay, if you just throw random addresses for the different loaded store you put to the cache, there is a lot of chance to do random verification. Okay, very good. But we start to find a bug where obviously the random sequence start to form a pattern, like a mem copy pattern, where you repeat and you increase the pointer to the given data so that the address increase regularly with some stride in between the different addresses. So randomly, there is very, very little chance that you find a sequence of address that increments naturally. And so we found at the very beginning of my career this kind of bug, and this was part of the hidden case, because only luck can create a sequence of increasing address. So the work in that case was to say, oh, there is a huge pile of bug probable if you start to sequence that looks like memcopy or memset operation, which are used a lot by OSs. So we tune the random address generator to not only provide random address, but provide addresses that follows a memcopy pattern. And we start to find new bugs. And these new bugs, again, fall into the hidden case, because we discover, for example, that, okay, but if we do a memcopy and we have full cache line accesses during the memcopy on a very long sequence, but at the edge of the memcopy, when it starts and when it stops, it creates different pattern if the next address is only a partial cache line access. And in that case, we found also interesting to tune the random generator to make this new hidden case that has been discovered into a normal case generated by the test bench, and making sure that when we create a memcopy pattern, we also create some variation at the start and at the end of this sequence. So we keep improving the test bench so that the new bugs that are found by luck are bugs that are found by design of the test bench. So we just have an example just today. We found a bug on the atomic sequence, the load, reserve, and store conditional. Atomic sequence are very critical when you want to have high quality processor. It must work in all the cases. So we found a bug today, and we found it because we made a clear test targeting this sequence, and we found a bug by luck. And we will do this process with the team to make sure that, okay, this new pattern is part of the test itself, so that we keep progressing in the quality of the verification.
Ah, great examples. So how do these insights help close the coverage?
So closing the coverage and finding the next bug are somehow two different topics. I've seen in the past that the closing the coverage was made by making a direct test that just targets the coverage point that was uncovered. But this is still a bad methodology, because yes, you have covered your case. Your coverage report goes close to the 100%, but you have not improved your testing. And closing the coverage is something that is extremely complex to do, extremely long and extremely painful for the team. So asking the team to close the coverage by just adding new little tests just to close the coverage is wasting the energy of the team. So I'd like to tune more and think, okay, if a given point is not covered, let's again consider that we have a bug in this point and make a test that will find the bug. Assume that the coverage points that are not closed are a bug that is just to be found. And following the same methodology, improve the quality of the verification on top of just closing the coverage. I really don't like to say, okay, just close the coverage for the sake of closing coverage. That is not enough. That does not bring the quality we want to verify the processor. So normally, if things go well, when you follow this methodology and really analyzing the bug you find and improving your verification, closing the coverage should not be a problem, because you will have the testing that is necessary. You will have the power in your test bench to go to much more corner cases, to much more hidden cases, so that the coverage should be in a very good shape if you followed this methodology for the whole project.
Well, that's a great explanation. If you could just briefly tell me what brought you to CodeSip and give us a little bit of feeling for what CodeSip does.
Yes. So after 18 years in ARM and having done design verification at block level, having made some test generation tool for top level, and I've seen a lot of things in ARM. And I think I'd like smaller companies where I am closer to the team, doing a more technical work, but still involved in the global verification picture. I was looking for a smaller company, and RISC-V is really an architecture that is that have tailwinds. This is the architecture that everyone is talking about. It is an outsider, and I quite like this aspect. So CodeSip is one of the major RISC-V companies. Even if the RISC-V architecture is open source, there are a few companies that are doing closed source products out of this open source architecture. And CodeSip is a small one, is a European company, which fits very well with France, because I am based in France. It is a company that is growing, that has a range of products that is interesting, from embedded cores, where we target low power and small size. And we have also high performance core running application, Linux, and other OSs. So really, really a good range. And on top of this, it's not just providing IP cores, not only CPUs, but also providing a way for the customer to customize its own CPU. And this is very interesting techniques with high level synthesis, where I think the verification goes beyond what is done traditionally, where traditional company, I would say, verify a processor and is given to the customer and the customer use it. But here we have another challenge, which is very interesting, is to be able to verify the customization that the customer made to our product. The customization will help the customer to have a very fast CPU by optimizing a few instructions and adding a few instructions to the core that are very specific for them. And we, at CodeSip, need to provide the tool so that the customer can press a button and make sure this new instruction works well with the core and all is verified, and the customer can confidently tape out. So not only we have to verify our own CPU, our own implementation internally, and we are doing it well, but also making sure the customer can verify its IP. And this is very, very novel in the microelectronic industry as we have today. So this is a challenge that interests me.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I have heard nothing but good things about CodeSip, and RISC-V actually is one of the top attractions to SemiWiki now. Whenever we write about it, semiconductor IP has always been the top trending topic, but RISC-V specifically, and you know, this is one of the reasons why. Listen, this is a good place to stop. Thank you, Philippe. It's a pleasure to meet you, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for your interest in RISC-V.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.